setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Coming to you live from Nashville, the Music City, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. Thrilled to have you with us. It's not another political talk show. Lord knows you don't need one of those. How about a show about your purpose? Why you are on the planet? Everybody who is alive, who will be born, has a unique role that they were created to fill. So that means that you are needed. It also means that you must do it. So that's what we do on the show. We're here to help you get that clarity so you can confidently step forward on the path to fulfilling your purpose. 844-747-2577 is how we do it. That is the toll-free number, 844-747-2577. You can also email the show, ask@kencoleman.com. We started off with Holly, who's on the line in Austin, Texas. Holly, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you so much for taking my call. It's an honor to speak to you.
Well, the honor's all mine. How can I help?
Yeah, so I need some words of wisdom and encouragement. I am looking to make a career change, and the tricky part is that I've been with the current employer for almost 12 years. And although I know I need a change, that tenure and the fact that they've been very good to me over the years makes it really tough to leave.
That's all in your head, though.
I think it is. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. I mean, you have to weigh your future versus what you're considering obligation. And you have to say, is it the right move for you to make progress towards a future that you desire? Or is it better for you to just be well-liked and feel as though you've not made anybody upset with your departure? Now, which one of those makes the most sense?
When you say it that way, it's very logical.
Yeah, and that's why you called me, and that's why I'm here. But you don't owe these people a life of average. And if you don't pursue what you know you want to pursue, Holly, then you are effectively trading approval for an average life. Yeah, oh, I'm happy with the average just because I want approval. And that just is not the right formula. So
I agree. And I think part of it's financial as well. They pay me very well for what I do. I'm in human resources. And I am pretty sure that when I pursue what I do believe my calling to be, there's a chance that I'm not going to be able to make as much. And so obviously I've talked to my husband about that quite a bit. And that part's a little scary too. Especially,
okay.
You know, we're Dave Ramsey fans. We're on Baby Step 6.
Sure. Hold on. Two things. Number one, can you adjust your phone? We're having a real hard time hearing you. Let's see if we can get a little speak
Sorry
direct.
About that. Is that any better?
That's way better. Please keep it there so we can understand what you're saying. But I still understood to say that you said that you and your husband are on baby step 6, which for non-Dave Ramsey listeners, tell folks what baby step 6 means.
We are in the process of paying off our mortgage.
Yeah.
We've paid off all our other debt,
mm-hmm.
saving for retirement, and we don't have children, so
saving
for school is not an issue.
Okay, and how much of an emergency fund do you have, 3 or 6 months?
6 months.
Okay, so folks, they have 6 months of living expenses in the bank, so you're in great shape, Holly. So there are two things going on here. One is what we've already discussed with you feeling some sort of guilt for leaving these people because they've given you a job, you've been there 12 years, and you make good money. The other part is fear. That's the biggest part. And you're justifying your fear with the feelings of being loyal. So your brain is playing all kinds of mind games and just talking you out of just the sensical thing to do. And you're in baby step 6. You can afford to go do what you love for a little bit less. How much less are we talking about? How much money do you make now? And tell me what you want to do and how much you think you'd make if you did that.
Well, currently I make $115,000.
Yeah.
So I've been very blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my dream job, I've really done a lot of soul searching with the help of your podcast. And I think the two dream jobs that I've always thought about are being a financial coach or being, and this is the complete opposite side, I've always wanted to be a veterinary technician. I'm a huge animal lover.
Great.
And vet techs, as we know, are very underpaid, even with the certifications required. And so I've been pursuing the financial coach side of things, and I'm actually doing the financial coach master training right now.
Great. But I could be wrong, but I sense that what you'd really love to do is be the veterinarian tech.
That's where my heart is.
Yes.
Sure.
But, wait a second. Wait. Where's your husband at on all this? What does he think?
So he's very supportive of the career change because he sees how stressful the career can be.
Okay, then what are you doing? Why do you keep talking yourself out of this? You're in baby step six. You guys are going to pay your house off. You don't need to make $115,000. You know, you would be thrilled being a veterinarian tech making how much?
Unfortunately, we're talking maybe $15,000, $16,000 an hour.
Who cares? You're debt free.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
You guess what?
I think at the end of the day, maybe part of it is guilt over making such a huge change and putting more of the financial breadwinning on my husband.
All right. I've been very nice, and I'm still going to be nice, but I'm going to be really direct with you.
Okay, please do.
This is all nonsense. It's all fear of the two factors that I told you about, disapproval of others for leaving this company and then fear of, you know, whatever, fear of just being stupid. It seems stupid. You've got golden handcuffs. This $115,000 has been a wonderful blessing to you and your husband. He's supportive of you as number two. That's huge. He's supportive. And so I don't know what you're waiting on, because the bottom line is you lived like no one else so that later you can
live like no one else.
So you can actually take a pay cut and do what you love and thrive, yes or no?
You're absolutely right. That was a huge part of our why.
Okay. Why do you think you sacrificed for so many years? I can tell you. To be able to do this. To be able to do this. Become a veterinarian tech. That's what you love to do. You're going to be more fulfilled than ever, and you're going to breathe fresh, clean air of going and doing something you love every day. And you've already done the work to breathe that freedom of financial freedom. And oh, by the way, you can be a financial coach on the side. Your financial coaching business isn't going to pay you $15 to $16 an hour right away. Let me just give you a newsflash, Holly. That's going to take time to build up clientele to where you're making that money. So why don't you do both and move forward? Oh, Holly, be free. You've earned it. Folks, don't apologize for wanting to pursue work that matters to you. Coming up, a new study says that this person in your life can make a huge difference in your career. I'll tell you next. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, as a parent, I know how important it is for kids to get a good education, but I don't believe it needs to break the bank. If you've got a kid considering a career in technology, you've got to check out my friends at Bethel Tech. They have an online training program that teaches the most in-demand tech skills for a fraction of the price of a traditional college degree, and 85% of graduates get hired within 4 months. I've got an exclusive offer for you that will save you $500 off your tuition. Go to BethelTech.net/Ken. That's BethelTech.net/Ken. Welcome back, America. This is a talk show dedicated to your purpose, your future, meaningful work. Life is way too short to live for the weekend. The average American worker spends 90,000 plus hours at work in their lifetime. That is the majority of your lifetime by far. Don't you think you ought to do something that matters to you? Something that you're good at? That is possible. In fact, the human dream is bigger than the American dream. Has never been more alive and well. Thrilled to have you with us, 844-747-2577. So I want to share a new study with you. Got a New article in my hands. SurveyMonkey and CNBC combined, and they dug into data from nearly 8,000 full-time and part-time workers across the country. And this article from CNBC, one finding jumped out. And I love this because it's so powerful and it validates substantially one of the five people that I wrote about in my best-selling book, The Proximity Principle. From this study, 91% of American workers who have a mentor say they are satisfied in their jobs. 57% say they're very satisfied because of the role of a mentor. Workers with a mentor are more likely than those without a mentor to say they're well paid. Workers with a mentor are more than likely to say that they believe their contributions are valued by their colleagues. These are two of the biggest drivers of happiness in work. Do I matter? My contributions matter. People recognize my contributions, and I'm being compensated well for them. Now, let's look at this. The benefits of this mentorship for employees isn't just exclusive to the mentee. More productive workers are valuable to any company. And if they're happy, they're going to be more productive. They stay longer. 4 out of 10 workers who do not have a mentor said in this study that they considered quitting their job in the past 3 months. So there's no one to kind of guide them. Workers with mentors have more patience, have more perseverance. Now let's go a little deeper into this data. The payoff of a mentor is especially high for younger workers and those at lower levels within organizations. So this was a glaring finding, and this makes total sense. Again, it's why I chose the mentor as one of the five people to feature in the book, The Proximity Principle. Because if you're younger, which means you're lower on the ladder, or you kind of new in the career, you're just getting started and you're at lower levels. So for younger workers and those at lower levels, a mentor is a huge benefit. And the study shares that. So I share that. And again, the whole article with more of the information, we'll post that on my Facebook page, facebook.com/Ken Coleman Show. But I share that with you for two reasons as you listen in. I want to talk to the first group. If you don't have a mentor in your professional life, you need one. What does that person need to look like? They need to have some respect from you. You respect them. You look up to them. So you'll listen to what they say. They need to have great experience. Doesn't have to be in your field. They just need to be an experienced person who's had some success over a long period of time. So the respect factor, the experience factor, so they're going to bring some wisdom, not just knowledge, to the table. And they need to be willing to be your mentor. Doesn't have to be 5 days a week, could be once a month, whatever. But that's what you're looking for. If you don't have a mentor, you need to get a mentor. If you don't believe me, just believe the data. Number two, those of you who are in leadership positions and you're running a company or leading a division, you better encourage the people you're leading to have mentors. You on some level need to find a way to be a partial mentor beyond just your leadership position. It's a game changer. Really important stuff. So check it out. And again, the Proximity Principle available at kencoleman.com. 844-747-2577. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Carmela, who's on the line in San Leandro, California. Carmela, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
All right. I'm a certified designer working for a design-build company for 8 years now, mm-hmm. and I started as an intern.
Nice.
I really love what I do. I love the work environment, my role, and my clients. And I, in the span of 8 years, I've already designed 65 projects.
Wow.
So my husband and I are planning to move to Silicon Valley, closer to his school, because it's a really tough commute. And he's, you know, when he graduates, he's planning to work in that area.
Yeah.
So for me, although it's a fear of change and unknown, I really wanted to expand my horizon and look for a new job in that area.
Great.
So my question is, how can I generate a portfolio? You know, I have a rich portfolio to show my work if all my professional, if all the professional photos are owned by the company.
Interesting. I don't know the technicalities here, so I'm going to ask some really simple questions that might seem silly.
Okay.
If you're not publicizing those pictures for profit, could you not use those just to simply show your work, as long as you're not, you know, putting that out on social media or trying to make profit off of it? But this is work you did, and if you give them credit for it, I mean, is that a problem? I don't see that being a problem. What am I missing?
Yeah. Well, I've been doing a research, and it says that you might be able to get in trouble, but I'm only planning to put it maybe on a printed portfolio as opposed to posting it on a website, you know?
So two things. If you want to, seek the advice of a lawyer. I don't think that's necessary, though. You're not publicizing. This is something that you're only going to show to prospective employers, and it's like a print version. They can't even use it. That's what you're talking about. It would be a printed out portfolio, or would you have a digital version?
I would print it out and bring it to an interview.
Yeah, I don't see that being a problem.
Okay.
I got to tell you right now, you're not using it to profit off of. You're saying, this is my work. I'm showing my work. So you're not using it. That's not a problem. You don't have to worry about that. But I mean, again,
I need to ask. Do you think I need to ask a permission from the company?
Sure, if you want to. I mean, are you prepared to tell them you're moving, or they already know?
Not yet. I'm still, you know, planning everything. It's hard to leave because I really love this company.
Yeah, listen. Unless you have read something very specifically from a true legal document that you cannot, as a designer, showcase your previous work in a portfolio, that's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. I just don't believe that exists. Because again, you're not, and you can put sample on it, you know, whatever you want to do to further protect yourself. But again, you're not selling it. You're not posting it anywhere. You're showing, this is the work I did. It is the work you did. And by the way, there's more ways to show your work than just printing out a portfolio as well. So I wouldn't worry about that. But, you know, to make yourself feel good, I just sense that you're really apprehensive about that. You know, find somebody who's got a friend who's a lawyer. Don't even pay for it. And just say, hey, I'm worried about this, and go that way. And then if you want to feel good about it, you're just going to say, hey, once it's time for you to tell the company you're moving, just say, hey, obviously I'm moving to be close to my husband's school. I would like to showcase this, and this project. In a printed portfolio. Just want to make sure you're cool with that. I don't see that being an issue at all. More of your calls for clarity coming up. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Ken Coleman here with my wife, Stacy. Studies show that smiling improves your physical and emotional health.
That's why we love the Burst Sonic Toothbrush.
The unique soft charcoal bristles powerfully remove plaque-causing bacteria.
I really love the three modes, whitening, sensitive, and massage, and they look fantastic on our counter.
Burst Smart and Affordable Replacement Head Subscription is just $6 every 90 days. So visit burstoralcare.com and check out the incredible deals in their Black Friday sale. That's burstoralcare.com. Helping you go from wandering to wondering. Wandering around cluelessly to wondering specifically. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. What are we wondering about? Well, we're wondering what could be, what should be. This is the human spirit. We all long to do things that matter greatly to us. And the way we could do that is by work that matters. That's why we're here. 844-747-2577. We got a question from Ashley from Facebook. Facebook.com/Ken Coleman Show is how to connect with us there. She says, I drive Uber, and the other night I was chatting with a passenger who gave me his business card. Said to email him as he may have a need for my photography services. I'm definitely open to working with him. Question is, What should I say in my follow-up? He works at a television station and is an anchor. I've had this happen to me before, and I emailed the next day with no response back. So what you've got is you probably have an Uber driver who's creating conversation with a guy, and you have one of two things that has happened in this situation. One, the guy really does think that he might need her photography services because he's an on-air anchor, maybe needs some headshots. I don't know. Okay. The other thing is he's just being nice, and he's kind of going, oh, give me your card, and it's an easy way to get out of a conversation, right? Some people just do that. I'm just being honest. Let's keep it real. You all know what I'm talking about. So in this situation, you just email, and what I would do is not email and say, hey, you know, you said you might need my services. I gave you my card. Just doing a follow-up. That's what everybody else would do. What I would do is, hey, you asked for my card. I appreciate the interest. I want to just send you some of my work and send some relevant work if you have some relevant work. Now it's not like, hey, I'm just doing the flimsy follow-up. I'm showing you what I got. You thought I was just an Uber driver and you were being nice, essentially blowing me off. I got the goods. I think that's the only thing you can do in that situation. 844-747-2577 if you want to send your question via email, ask@kencoleman.com, or you can also submit it via Instagram @KenColeman, Twitter @KenColeman, and of course Facebook.com/KenColemanShow. All right, let's go back to the phones. We go to Sacramento, California, where Christopher is on the line. Christopher, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey Ken, how you doing?
I am living the dream. How can I help?
I have a funny question. I was curious if it's possible to have two sweet spots instead of just one.
No. You can have one sweet spot, but multiple career options, jobs, roles that fit within side of that sweet spot. But there's only one place where what you do best can intersect with what you love to do most. And so that's the sweet spot. It's a very wide open area. So I understand the spirit of your question, but that's the answer.
Oh, I see.
That's all you needed to know?
Oh, I was curious because the thing is that I could, this is kind of out of the field, but I could enjoy doing agriculture just as equal as I can enjoy being in the cubicle.
Okay, that's not, again, that strange. Because, again, there's something unique that you love about the agriculture work. And I don't care if you're in a cube, sitting on an ice block. If you're doing work you love, you really don't care where that is. So I don't think it's that confusing. You understand what I'm saying? Because again, it comes down to, are you using your talents to do work in agriculture? Yes or no?
No.
I'm sorry. Are you using your talents, your skills, to do work in agriculture? Yes or no?
No, sir.
No. I'm saying, if you were working in agriculture, would you be doing work that you are good at?
Oh, I see. Yes, of course.
Okay. All right. Now we're on the same page. So the cubicle thing, again, the cubicle is just it's like a zip code location. It has nothing to do with doing work you love. So what this boils down to, Christopher, is don't overthink this. This is really simple. The sweet spot exists for everybody at the intersection of what you do best. That's talent, strength, and skills, and what you love to do most, work that makes your heart sing. This is not difficult. Don't overthink it. Are there multiple things you can do? Sure. Could you be outside in the agriculture industry? Sure. Could you work in an office and sit in a cube and still be very fulfilled? Yes. Yes, you can. I'm living the dream. I have a cube. There you go. We just blew that myth out of the water. Let's go to John, who's on the line in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. John, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
I'm living the dream. How can I help?
Well, so I have a question that kind of relates similar to one of your callers earlier this hour, where I feel like I've got the golden handcuffs on. I actually went out and started applying to other jobs, got an interview, and I nailed the interview, took the other company a few months to get back to me, but now they've come back with an offer, and it's a pretty hefty pay cut from what I'm making right now. So I'm trying to figure out if it's the work that I'm unhappy with or the culture where I'm at that's making me consider taking a big pay cut.
I have a guess. But I'm not going to guess. I want you to tell me what it is, because I think you know what it is. That's why you're laughing. Is it the work itself that you find no meaning, or are you in a rough culture, kind of a toxic, unhealthy situation?
I'm in a little bit of a rough culture, and I think that there's probably better roles within the same company that I'm in now that mm-hmm. would be better aligned to what I'm meant to do.
Which is?
I think what I'm really good at is analyzing data and problem solving. Like, I can go read 50 pages worth of reports on stuff, tie four things together from different ones and say, hey, here's the problem, and here, and, you know, kind of analyze it, put it together, and come up with a solution faster than most computer programs people can write.
All right, now here's the back half of that question. We know you're really good at it. Don't you enjoy that? You enjoy that, don't
you? I do.
Yeah. So does this new job offer, is it that role? Does it offer you the opportunity to do that kind of work?
No, it's more similar to what I'm doing now in my current role.
Which is?
I work at a nuclear power plant, and I supervise in the control room.
Mm-hmm. So here's the deal.
Like,
so, John, okay. how much are you making right now?
$190.
Okay, and how much would this new job pay you?
It would be changing industries out of nuclear, but still within energy. So I would start around 100, and within a year, I'd be back up to 140 to 150.
Okay. All right.
Which is not impossible for me. I started.
No. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that because that's the wrong conversation.
Okay.
I want you to be a big boy and bite the stick, and stay where you are making 190. And let's focus on moving forward into that data analysis problem-solving role.
Okay.
That's what you need to be doing.
Which for me would probably be like going over to the engineering department and getting out of the control room.
Yes. But why in the world would you take a substantive pay cut to do the same thing you're doing now, and that's not what you want to do in the next?
Part of it is a little bit of fear associated with my industry. We've been getting hit pretty hard with all the fracking and the cheap natural gas and stuff. So
yeah, but
my utility went to the state and said, hey, if you don't give us subsidies, we're going to close this plant.
I get that.
And
I get that, John. But again, this happens to a lot of people. Let me tell you what's happening to you right now. What's happening to you is you're taking an external circumstance and you're applying it to your situation, and it's making you feel smart for not taking the next step forward. It's the safe play. And it's an excuse. There's always going to be a need for engineers, people who do data analysis and solve problems. You know that, and I know that. That is a skill set that can be transferable across industries. And so the answer to your question is, don't you dare take this new job offer and take a massive pay cut. Stay where you are making 190, bank it, get out of debt, whatever your situation is, and prepare for the next step. And you like the company, you're just not in a great role. Get out of that and see if we can move in the company, because it's an easier move. They already know you. But let's take the steps to get qualified. Make the connections to step into that data analysis, problem-solving, engineer-type role. That's what you want to do, so make steps to do that. Come on, John. I believe in you. Don't go anywhere. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back, America. Thrilled to have you with us. This is The Ken Coleman Show, helping you discover what you were created to do, and then come up with a plan to make that dream a reality. And it's not as difficult as it seems. This is the message that I want to share. And this is why I'm on the air every day. This is why we're going to stay with this, because so many men and women out there, many of you who are listening right now, are overcome with fear and doubt. They're ugly cousins. I talk about this a lot. And they feed each other. So you're afraid that you're going to fail. You're afraid that it's too late, that it's too expensive, takes too much time. You're afraid what others are going to say. And so those are the big fears. And then there's doubt that you're not good enough, that you don't have the discipline, you don't have the character. You don't have the motivation. You don't have the support. You don't have the right circumstances, whatever it is. So they kind of play off of each other. And they just whisper these things, and they really cripple you. And so what fear and doubt do is they create this giant that you're facing. Truly a giant. You know the old story, David and Goliath? You know the Bible school story? For those of you who don't go to church, you've heard of David and Goliath. Everybody's heard of David and Goliath. David's the little young guy. And he volunteers to take on the unbeatable Goliath. And everybody laughs at him. They make fun of him. You're nuts. You've lost your mind. You're a teenager. You're a little runt. You're going to take on this 9-foot giant, this beast of a man. His armor plate is taller than you and weighs 3 times more than you. You get the image. And we've heard this story, right? He goes out with the slingshot. And the way it's told, and again, I'm not attacking this. I come from the church world. I'm a pastor's kid. The way it's told is it's nothing short of miraculous that David walks out on the battlefield, takes a slingshot, and slings the stone. It hits Goliath in the head, and Goliath falls over and dies. And everybody goes, wow, what a miracle. But I've had the pleasure of meeting and getting to know Malcolm Gladwell, who's one of the great thinkers and writers, and has a faith background. Don't know what his personal faith story is and persuasion is, but he wrote a great book, David and Goliath. And he actually breaks this thing down, and this is what I want to share with you. This book's on my shelf right here in the studio. Here's what I want to share with you. That he breaks down that for someone who was skilled with a slingshot, which was a very valuable weapon back in these pre-medieval times, if you will. It was a valuable weapon. The men and women that could sling a slingshot were deadly accurate with it. And the speed of the pebble or the rock at that time in that context had the same effect as a bullet. Now you think about that for a second. So was David the underdog? Or did David have the decided advantage and nobody else realized it? Or did they realize it, but they were so afraid of Goliath and everybody else thought it was so crazy that they didn't use their brain? And he was the one person who was like, I got a slingshot. The guy's 9 feet tall, 500-600 pounds. He's got a spear the size of a column. If he throws it at me, I can dodge it. I can run circles before it gets to me. And he's standing there. He's a sitting duck for my rock. And that's what David did. So here's the point. Your fear is making your challenge or your future so scary that you've lost your mind temporarily. And you do have the advantage. You have the advantage because you have the skill to pull it off. You've got the passion to stay with it as long as it takes. So that's what I want to give you today. Don't make these next steps. Don't make the dream job, the Mount Everest, unclimbable. So huge that you can't even move forward. Think about what skill you have, what precision, what passion you have to get there, because you can. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Josh, who's on the line in Lafayette, Indiana. Josh, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
So I'm in the discovery phase, and I'm not quite sure how to get over that hump and move to the next phase.
Okay, well, what do you know?
Well, I know that I'm good with my hands. I like working with my hands a lot. I'm creative.
How are you creative? Tell me real quick. Give me an example.
Example would be in woodworking. I can look at a problem for how to make a particular project and come up with 4 or 5 solutions.
Okay, great. Love that. Okay, what else? What else would you put at the top of your talent, strengths, skills line?
That's
it. All right. Well, I think we already know. I don't think this is going to be difficult as you think. Let's talk about passion. What do you love to do? You've already told me in one sentence that you're really good with your hands and you love working with your hands. So I wrote, love working with your hands. Tell me what work makes you come alive. You look forward to it. When you're in the middle of it, it gives you the juice. When you're done with it, you're satisfied.
Doing anything with wood. Yep. So any kind of woodworking. And then coming up with different ideas as far as like maybe a new product or a new piece of furniture. Mm-hmm. And really exercising my brain to get that final vision.
I love that. So I got to tell you, Josh, what's going on with you? I don't think you're having a problem with discovery. I think you're having a problem with the next stage of realizing the dream. I've got five stages. One is discovery. That's discovering who you are and what it is that you were created to do. And the next step is research. We're going to figure out how to best get there. And then it's all about embark. That's E, stage three. I think that's what's going on. You love woodworking and you're good at it. What am I missing?
Well, I just don't know how to get to the point where my current job, woodworking could overtake my current job.
Oh, well, that's easy. How much money do you make?
Right at $57,000.
$57,000. That's what we've got to replace, okay? And yeah. How much could you make on the side doing woodworking? Carpentry, woodworking, how much do you think you could make in the next year? If you started today, 12 months from now, how much could you make? Take a ballpark guess. Don't get too hung up on this.
I'd say maybe $5,000 starting.
Great. So in your first year, you bank $5,000, okay? You put it in the bank. Next year, maybe you do $7,000. Now you're up to $12,000. If it takes you 3 to 5 years to get to a point where you've got most of the $57,000 in the bank or a 80% or 75%, whatever you feel comfortable with, and not only are you doing, you're connecting and you're making all kinds of connections to where you've got a lot of clients and you know, wait a second, I'm lined up with plenty of work here. I can do this. Or maybe you go work for somebody else. Maybe the part-time thing leads to connections. You go work for somebody else for a while. Maybe you do 3 or 4 years of woodworking for a very successful local company. They're paying you the $57,000+. And you keep the side business. I don't know which way this is going, but you need to use the proximity principle. I'm going to give you the copy of that number one best-selling book. I wrote it for you. Get around people that are doing woodworking. Get in places where it is happening. Opportunities are going to knock on your door. All over the place. Josh, this is a side play until the side play funds stepping from your current day job into that dream job. It's not going to happen overnight. Are you willing to do what it takes? Are you willing to wait as long as it takes? You need to have a yes coming out of your heart, not just your head. And if that is a yes and you believe in it, you're passionate about it, and you know you can do it, use the proximity principle. It's my gift to you. Madison, give him a copy of that book. Josh, use it. It's going to walk you through it step by step, how to use the power of proximity to create opportunities for you. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. Until the next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.